You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So you want to get better at jump hunting? Well, today I have 7 tips to help you bring home more ducks while hunting on foot. Hey, welcome to another episode of the New Hunter's Guide, the podcast and YouTube channel helping new hunters get started and helping active hunters learn new things. I'm your host, George Kanitas, and today we are talking about jump hunting, aka hunting on foot, aka still hunting ducks, aka ambush hunting ducks. Now, a lot of people, they think ambush hunting has to be something where you hide and then the game comes to or near you. I disagree. I looked up the definition of ambush hunting, or ambushing, period, and ambushing has to do with attacking unexpectedly from a concealed position. So you can ambush hunt ducks on foot, on the move, still hunting, just like you might hunt deer, just like you might hunt turkeys, just like you might hunt any other kind of thing, and it is one of my favorite ways to hunt ducks. Now, I like on a good duck hunt, going to be out there early. Going to be set up my decoys. Going to do a decoy spread. Going to set up a blind. Going to sit in the blind. Going to try to bring in birds in the morning. And if I don't shoot a limit and I have time to do it, then I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon jump hunting or still hunting or hunting on foot. I need to come up with a better time. I just need to brand this type of hunting better because it's too hard to talk about. People call it so many different things. They search for it using so many different words. There's just not a great universal name for it. So I'll work on that. But in the meantime, how do you hunt better on foot? All right, I've got 7 tips here. Things that you can do to improve your ability to jump hunt. Number 1. Use terrain. You gotta use your terrain. This is maybe the single best thing you can do in order to be successful. You need to come upon the ducks with the element of surprise. You gotta surprise them. If you're trying to get close enough to shoot a duck, either on the water or after flushing the duck, you've gotta get close. You wanna get within 30 yards. That is your goal. All right? You can do it at 40, but I mean, the goal is to get to 30 yards. And here's the thing. For whatever reason, it always looks closer than it is. You always underestimate your range. I don't know why, but you're like, yeah, I think I'm about 40 yards away. Yeah, it's 65. All right. That just happens so much. It doesn't even make sense. But for whatever reason, that is a very, very common thing when jump hunting is people just overestimate their range and they take long shots. So you got to get close. You got to get closer than you think you need to get. And you got to use your terrain to do that. All right. So the best thing I have found is when hunting streams or creeks or even lakes, I want to come at that water from the high ground. Almost never is there low ground. You rarely come up upon a body of water. Maybe a farm pond. That absolutely can happen. But for the most part, I like to try to get high ground. And I want to be on the other side of the high ground or the crest of that hill. So what that's going to do is that's putting the high ground between me and the water or me and the ducks. And this means that they're not going to be able to see me. and they're not going to be able to hear me, provided I'm, you know, not making a whole bunch of ruckus. And I'm going to be able to get close to the water and then sneak over the edge of that high ground and look down to the stream, look down into the river, look down into the water. Now, I don't want to be up 60 yards, right? Ideally, your high ground is maybe 10 to 20 feet higher than the water level. You don't want to be too high because then you're just too far. So you want to find places where you're able to use the terrain to your advantage. So you're able to sneak in, and then you don't have to, you know, be super stealthy and move at a tenth of a mile an hour, or just one step at a time and take breaks in between steps to cover huge distances. That'll take you all day to hunt. So if you use the high ground, if you put terrain in between you and the birds, then what you're able to do is move at a much faster pace until you get ready to break the edge, to crest over that hill and put yourself in view of the birds. And the way I like to do that is, as I'm getting ready to crest that hill or to break that plane of sight, I'm going to crouch. I'm going to get low. And then when I get just to about the point where I can see, I'm going to shoulder my gun and I'm going to slowly stand up. All right. Now, people talk about, well, you know, get in the position and then stand up quickly and then take your time to shoot. All right. I've read that advice. That is not terrible advice, but I'm not trying to flush the birds. I'm trying to find the birds. Okay, and I don't want to just spook them immediately. I want to get eyes on the birds without startling them. So I'm going to slowly stand up and then look. Okay, where could they be? Are there birds on the water? So often, there are birds, you know, a foot from the water's edge, and you don't see them because you're looking for birds on the water. And especially if they're on your side of the water, they can be really hard to see from this position because the first thing you can see is the other bank of the water opposite you. So I'm very slowly going to get up. And if I see birds, I'm going to try to take a shot at them without spooking them. All right. That's just me. You do you. I know a lot of people, they want to flush the birds and then shoot them out of the air. That's great. But I would rather get a shot at them at 30 yards while they're on the water without even knowing I'm there. So first shot is a down bird on the water. Second shot is the first duck that flushes, right? That's the way I would prefer to do it, as opposed to spooking the ducks and then having to take a quick shot. But here's the reason, okay? There's a reason. Typically, the birds fly away from you. They're not going to fly towards you most of the time. And so as they're flying away from you, either side to side or straight away, your ability to deal a critical hit to a bird flying away from you is much less than a bird flying to you because the vitals are in the front of the bird. The head, the breast, those are the areas you want to hit to bring down a bird quickly. So shooting at a bird flying away from you always yields less results than shooting at a bird flying towards you. Now, if the bird's on the water, you're trying to hit that bird in the head. That is the goal. And I'll talk more about some details with that later. But that's another thing. Now, you know, again, you want to flush them and shoot them out of the air because you think that's more fun or more sportsmanlike or whatever. You do that. If you can get within 30 feet or within 30 yards of a duck, you have done an impressive thing. And how you shoot that duck, to me, I don't care. You've done something that's impressive. You have snuck up on a duck. You've gotten within 30 yards of wild waterfowl. That is impressive. So I have no qualms whatsoever about taking a shot on the water versus having to flush that bird. Because here's the thing. Those birds are going to flush. And very rarely do you find a duck by itself. So you're going to take a shot. Whether you hit that bird or you don't hit that bird, ducks are going to fly. And you're going to get that opportunity also. I would rather have that opportunity on my terms, on my timing, to pull that trigger when I want to with that bird on the water. I mean, it's kind of like turkey hunting. You're trying to hit that bird in the head at that range with a good pattern. And so But using the terrain enables you to get there without spending the whole day sneaking. Number two tip for jump hunting, use the wind. Okay, the wind is your ally. And it has nothing to do with the birds flying or landing or anything like that. You're hunting birds that are on the ground or on the water. The wind is your best friend. The windier, the better. Because wind causes movement, wind causes noise. All right, very rarely do I hear ducks before I see ducks. Sometimes I hear them. But the vast majority of the time, I see them and then I hear them. And so, you know, if you could take away the duck's sense of hearing, I'll gladly hand mine over. All right, that is to the hunter's advantage. If you can put earplugs in both of our ears, I'm going to win because I'm the one hunting. I'm the one trying to find the bird. And whether I hear the bird or not, I know where they live. I know where they're at. I know that they're going to be on the water or close to the water. I'm on the prowl. I've scouted. I know these areas are good, and I'm going to find those birds. If they can't hear me, that is to my exponential advantage. So the wind causes noise and enables you to get away with making more noise, enables you to hunt seemingly quieter because where the bird is, they hear all the noise created by the wind, and that works to my advantage. But even bigger than the noise, because the terrain, if you're using terrain, the terrain will block the noise. That's the number one reason you use it. The wind causes movement. It is blowing branches and shrubs and grasses and weeds and hanging things and whatever. You got all kinds of movement. So while you're moving through the woods, you're easy to pick out if everything is still. But if everything is moving and swaying and back and forth, then the birds are surrounded by movement. You are much harder to pick out. If they catch some movement out of the corner of their eye, well, they're seeing movement out of every corner of their eye. So you have the advantage in the wind. Now, the earlier in the season it is, the more helpful the wind is because there's more brush, there's more branches, there's more leaves, there's more stuff to blow around. You're able to hunt better. You have more advantage. It's easier to hide. And if you have the wind, that works better. Now, some people like to jump hunt more in the late season when things are clear and they can see better. And I have had success doing that, but if you have wind or no wind, it changes almost nothing. And I still think you can use the wind to your advantage and have more cover in the early season, and that is worth its weight in gold. So you want to use the wind. A windy day is perfect. A super windy day is good. It can be too windy for the birds to fly, which I have yet been willing to go out on a day that was too windy for the birds to fly. But say you had a day that was too windy, the birds aren't flying, or it's hampering their flight. They're somewhere. They don't just disappear. They're on the ground. They're on the water. They're somewhere. And you can use that wind to your advantage in order to sneak up on them. Number three, you want to build a circuit. All right. If you want to be good at jump hunting, you need a circuit. A circuit is a number of places that you can go, a routine, all right? So you've got half a dozen spots.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Whether it's on the same body of water, same stream, whatever, you come up with a plan, with a circuit. And you know, all right, I'm going to come in the woods here and I'm going to walk, you know, 100 yards back from the water, parallel to it for this distance until I get to this bend where there's these fallen trees and there's often ducks there. And then I'm going to approach the water and then right till I get to the edge of the hill, then I'm going to start slowing down, crest that hill, look for birds, take my shots, you know, pull back out and I'm going to go downstream further. I'm going to go here. And you build it so over the course of a few hours, you're able to hit several spots. And when you go out, you can do that every time. And you know how long it takes to hunt that circuit or half of that circuit. You know, it's kind of like a golf course. You know, you can play all 18 holes, or you could do the front nine or the back nine or whatever you want to do. Go down to the driving range. You've got a circuit. You're able to do some of it. You can do all of it. You know how much time it takes to do it. And the key there is to know how much time it takes to hunt it, not just to walk it. So you can go out and scout a circuit in the early season and it takes you an hour to walk it. Okay, well, that doesn't count because you're not hunting it. If you're hunting it, you're sneaking. You're moving slower, especially as you approach the water. You're being really quiet. Really, you may sneak up to water's edge and just stand there and stare for 10 minutes. Just looking from one end to the other, upstream, downstream, your bank, their bank. Just listening, looking, trying to get a sense. You could walk it in an hour, but it might take you 4 hours to hunt it well. And so what you want to do, though, is build a circuit that you can hunt every time. You learn where to move. You learn where the branches are. You learn where that terrain is, where you have the best advantage, where you're able to get the jump on ducks the best. And, you know, you don't necessarily hunt that every day because you don't want to just spook all the birds out of there. But however often you go out, once a week or whatever it is, you've got your circuit. You know what to do. You know how long it takes. And the more you hunt like that, the better you're going to get at it. The better you're going to be at recognizing, okay, where are the birds? So if you run a circuit 10 times and there's never birds in two or three of those spots, well, you may want to change your circuit. But at the same time, where the places that you find birds often or regularly, you can identify, okay, what about those spots is going to be similar to other places? And how do I find more places like that? Now, there's never always ducks in any particular spot. It's just not the way it works. Even, you know, at most, maybe you're going to find birds there 50% of the time. But if you've got four or five spots you can hunt in your circuit, and you've got the birds are going to be at any one of them 40% of the time, you're going to have good odds at bringing ducks home on any particular hunt. And so you build a circuit, then you refine your circuit, then you add to it, you subtract from it, and the more you do it, the better you'll get. Number four tip, you need to hit subscribe to this podcast. If you have not subscribed, your ability to duck hunt effectively could potentially be very hindered. All right, you need to subscribe. Click that subscribe button however you listen to podcasts. And you also need to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you have not yet. There is some really outstanding stuff I've been able to do, things I've been able to test, gear, ammo, assumptions, urban myths, all sorts of things that have been hampering duck hunters and lots of other hunters, and lots of details that can help you make good decisions. The real number four, you need to gear up for long shots on the water. All right, now if you don't shoot on the water and you only shoot birds out of the air, then you need to, you know, tailor this to fit your style. But the way I hunt and the way I usually recommend is what I've already told you. Get close, try to get within 30 yards, and take that first shot on the water. To do that and be effective at it, you need to gear up for long shots. I'm not going to go out and do this using number four steel with an open cylinder choke. I'm just not going to do that. My odds are going to be too low. I want to use bismuth with an extra full choke where I can get the densest possible pattern at 40 plus yards with enough power in that shot to do it. And so my goal here while I'm hunting on the waters, I want to get a headshot. So I'm thinking kind of like turkey hunting. All right, I've done a lot of different gear reviews and tests, and you know, I've even did an entire YouTube video on one of the big lies that waterfowl hunters are buying into, and that is that they feel like they have to have these 80, 90, 95% patterns at 40 yards for their ammo and their setup to really be you know, to really feel like it's doing the job they want it to do, that's considered good. And it's not. You don't want that kind of pattern. Ideally, you want about a 70% pattern at 40 yards if you're hunting at regular ranges, because that pattern's just going to be tighter the closer and closer it is to you. So if you're hunting at 25 yards and you have a 90% pattern density at 40 yards, at 25 yards, that pattern's going to be more like a softball. All right, it's going to be more like you're shooting a slug. And that is, one, you're going to miss a lot of ducks. Two, the ones that you hit, you're going to obliterate, and there'll be nothing left of them at close range. So you really want about a 70% pattern at 40 yards for regular range hunting. Now, there are exceptions. This is a big one. All right, this is one of those exceptions. If you are jump hunting ducks on the water at long range, you want the tightest possible pattern at 40 yards that you can get. Because, one, like I told you, you tend to underestimate the range. So you think it's 40 yards, but it's 50, all right? And that's why you're trying to get within 30 yards, so that even though you estimate poorly, you still have some margin. And so I want the tightest possible pattern that I can get, hoping to get a headshot at that range to get clean, consistent kills of birds on the water. So I want to use the fullest choke I can use with the ammo that I'm using to get the tightest possible pattern. I want to hunt with a denser than steel load. I prefer bismuth. Boss bismuth is one of my favorites, but Winchester bismuth, Kent bismuth, they all make some really good loads that pattern very well with the right setup at long ranges. Boss is my go-to bismuth load that I've been using now for a couple of seasons, and it is probably my favorite bismuth load on the market for all-around waterfowl hunting. It's the best. It's the best outcomes, the best performance per dollar that you can spend. Now, there's others like Winchester and Kent. Their loads cost more, but they also, however they built them, they have tighter patterns and a little more velocity at long range. Now, in my testing, I found that extra little bit of velocity to make almost no difference. Just because the faster they start out, the faster they slow down. And by the time you get out to there, there's just not as much difference in velocity as you might think. 2 to 8% difference in ballistics gel penetration compared to the slightly slower boss. But they do have really tight, really dense patterns. So what I like to do is I'll put maybe, if I'm going to go jump hunting, I'll change my choke and my ammo. Right, so I might sit in the blind all morning using a mid-range choke tube with, you know, my Boss number fours or number fives, and then I'm going to go jump hunting. All right, I'm going to put in the tightest choke tube that I've got, extended range, extra full, whatever it is, and then I might switch and use some of those Winchester bismuth if I'm going to be taking long-range shots at birds on the water. Now, the shells are more expensive, but I might put one of those in for my first shot and then maybe slip two Boss shells in for shots two and three, because I know I'm only getting one shot on the water, right? So I'll put a more expensive shot in to try to get that one shot on the water with the best, cleanest possible kill. Another option there is I've done some testing with heavy shot and the heavy 12s. And they are actually a very impressive load. Now, the heavy 12 number fours, you have less pattern density than you do with Boss or other bismuth number fours. Really the number four heavy 12s, that is a duck, or that's a goose load, as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to shoot ducks with that. It's denser than lead. It penetrates much deeper than steel or bismuth. Significantly deeper penetration, which actually accomplishes almost nothing on ducks, because you really can't kill them any deader than you can kill them with bismuth. However, the heavy 12 number sixes, that is an impressive load. I've found that to be really impressive. At 40 yards, I've tested it also at 60 yards and gotten impressive results. The pattern density on the number sixes with an extra full choke is really, really good. And the penetration on the number sixes is very similar to the penetration of your bismuth number fours. All right, so, you know, it could go a little either way, but very similar in penetration like that. And they lose very little penetration at increased ranges. Now, they're super expensive. But like I said, you might put one heavy 12 number six shot shell into your or into your chamber, and I might load a couple Boss shells into the tube because I'm looking at one shot on the water, right? And then they're flying. And so I'll put one more expensive shell in the gun with the two less expensive shells in order to make sure that my one shot on the water is everything it can be. And then anything with the birds in the air is, you know, we've got better opportunity. Or less money, so forth and so on. Now people say, well, why don't you just hunt with the heavy 12s, number 6s, and just use that exclusively? Well, I mean, they cost like double or triple what the Boss shells cost. And to be honest, at most ranges, the increase in performance doesn't really do anything. Like I said, you can't kill them any deader. So under regular circumstances and regular ranges, there's no reason to pay that extra money for that, you know, for those shells. But in these kind of situations, you know, but you buy maybe one box of them for the season and you're just using it as your first load, first shell in the gun when you're jump hunting. And so something like that, you just get the best possible chance while not spending way too much money doing it. So long range setups for birds on the water. Now, if you're flushing the birds, if that's your thing and you're not shooting them on the water, well, then you just use whatever shells you're going to use. You probably don't want super extra full long range setup. You probably want more of an average setup. You know, you're going to use modified, improved, modified, full, and whatever you're going to use, you use it. But if you're shooting them on the water, keep in mind, you're trying to hit the bird in the head. If they're in the air, the duck is a much larger target. Because when they're floating in the water, a lot of the bird is below water and a lot of the vitals are below water. So your shot is the head. It's kind of like turkey hunting. Versus if you're hunting the birds in the air, you've got the whole bird much larger, much easier to hit. You can use a regular setup. Now, some people have raised the question, well, could you use turkey loads for shooting those birds on the water? And of course, you can't use lead, so you'd have to use like a tungsten load, TSS load. Should you use that with a turkey choke trying to hit that bird in the head on the water? So guys, that sounds like a good idea. That doesn't really work for ducks though. First of all, every one of those shells costs $10, sometimes more. In fact, this past year it might be more like $12 to $13 a shell. Okay, that is just too much money to spend on a duck. I'm sorry. I can go to the store and I can buy ducks cheaper than that. So that's ridiculous. But functionally, it doesn't work either because, you know, a duck's head is not, or their neck is not that long. Even a mallard's neck is not that long. Turkeys have a long neck. And so you can hit a turkey in the head. I mean, just flat out take its head off and still not put pellets in the breast, still not put pellets in the core of the meat. Whereas a duck, you're probably just going to blow the bird to pieces. Now, a goose on the water, yeah, you could probably use a turkey load for, you know, big Canada goose or something. They got that long neck. Okay, maybe, you know, if you want to spend that kind of money, I don't know. But, you know, and there's probably somebody somewhere that's their thing and that's how they want to hunt. And they like that idea. They're going to take their turkey gun out with some TSS shells and they're going to hunt some geese on the water or on the ground. And they're going to, you know, you got your 10-inch circle at 40, 50 yards. So, you know, you've got some more range there. In fact, you could probably push it out to 60 yards. if you're using TSS, tungsten loads. So, okay, that's a different way to hunt. I'm not opposed to it. It's just expensive. But, you know, some people, they don't hunt a lot. That's the other thing. You know, you've got a turkey hunter with a turkey setup, and they've got a case of TSS, which, of course, a case of TSS is more like 50 shells, not 250. But you got a case, and you want to see if you could just go out and shoot a couple geese. Well, hey, you know what? You've got a perfect tool if you want to jump hunt geese on the water, on the ground. Just don't shoot at them if they take off, because you're not going to hit them. And if you do, you're going to obliterate them. All right. So that's an option. You could do that. Got a scope and turkey loads. And if you're going to go that route, I recommend the Boss Tom turkey loads. They're 18 GCC TSS load, because they're the cheapest TSS load I have found on the market. And they perform really good. Shot a turkey with them last year. So if I was going to go out and try something crazy like this, I would use those with number 9 shot. And you should be good out to 60 yards. But we're just not going that way with this episode. So gear up for long shots for shooting birds on the water. Number 5 tip. All right. There are often ducks that you don't see. Whether you see any ducks or not, don't move too quick. Because very often there are ducks that you're not seeing. You see 2 ducks on the water, there might be a dozen ducks within that area. You see 1 or 2 ducks on the shore, there could be 5 or 6 that you're not seeing. You see no ducks, there may still be a dozen ducks there. You know, ducks can float and not move a muscle. They could be behind a log. They could be right in the open, but because they're completely motionless and there's no ripples and they're at a distance, they could just look like a piece of wood. All right. They are unbelievable creatures. The way God designed these things to just blend in and hide in plain sight. They really are amazing. Now, unless they're playing and splashing and quacking, of course, you know, when that's going on, you can hear them plain as day. Those are also the best times to hunt them, because they're having fun. They're not paying as much attention to you sneaking around. But when they're completely still, motionless, on the water, on the shore, that's when they're the most alert. They're the most sensitive to anything happening. And that's when you need to not be hasty and be the most mindful. But if you walk up to a spot and you're like, okay, no ducks here. I've done that. I have walked up to the spot, snuck around, looked around, said, okay, no ducks. Started walking along the water at a regular pace. Boom, ducks take off. They're flying. And I'm like, oh, what happened? Like, I already got my gun down, my guard's down, and now there's birds flying somewhere I had no idea, because I just wasn't careful enough. I didn't pay attention enough. I wasn't cautious enough. I looked right here, and I didn't look anywhere else, and I didn't take my time. I didn't move slowly. So you got to keep in mind, even if you don't see any ducks, doesn't mean there's no ducks. And if you do see a couple ducks, there may very well be more ducks. Very often there's more ducks. So you'll want to be on the lookout for that. Number 6, you got to have a plan to recover birds. You got to have a plan. One year I was out late season. I mean, stupid cold, terrible snow, ice. I was breaking ice that morning trying to hunt here. Gave up on that because my decoys kept freezing solid in the broken ice water. And I ended up on a deep stream, real deep, probably 30 feet deep. And I'm out there, I'm hunting. I see some ducks at a distance. I use the terrain to get over to them. Climbed up around, came in, had great shots on them, killed one. And then that bird's out there in the middle of the water of this big stream. And I'm like, what do I do now? Because I had a plan, I had waders, I was able to hunt in my original spot, but now I got this deep water, and it's freezing, and there's ice, and like, you can't swim it. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get a big stick, and I'm going to try to reach out into this water, and try to get to this duck. Well, I found a good 20-foot stick, And I'm like, okay, I could probably wade out a few feet into the water and then and maybe get the duck. And so I stepped into the water and I just sank up to my hip in the mud. It was just like, that was my only step into the water. And there was just no going any deeper, any further. I mean, would have never gotten out. And even with that one step in the water, I was still 10, 20 feet short with my stick from being able to reach this bird. Because, of course, you always underestimate distance. And so I ended up using this stick as a walking stick to try to get myself out of the muck so I didn't die there. And then I'm like, okay, well, that the water flows this way. It's going to come around that way. Maybe I can come to here and try to reach the bird. And, of course, where I shot the bird was in recoverable distance. I didn't just shoot a bird in water that was too deep and there was no hope to recover it. I shot a bird on the water, in water that was a recoverable distance from the shore. But in its last throes of life, before it gave up the ghost, this thing just kicked two or three times and just pushed itself out into the deep water. As far, just too far out of reach. And then it just stopped. And then it just was coming downstream. So I'm like, all right, well, I could get to here, but couldn't because he had that deep mud. So I was like, all right, that I know where the stream goes because I'm not an idiot. I've scouted this area. And I know if I can get down around to this point, then there's all rocks. There's no mud. I can get a big stick. And when it comes around this bend, I have a good chance of being able to fish it out of the water because it's rocky and not muddy and I can get out closer. And so I had to run. You ever run wearing 5mm neoprene waders and a, you know, like a 6-pound parka? Had to run, had to grab my stuff, had to hike out, hike around, get around. Finally got to that spot, sitting there exhausted, just sweating profusely. I mean, just totally worn out and just waiting and waiting and waiting. And the duck never floated by. It either sank or, you know, maybe a big pike or muskie got it. But that duck just never came around. And so lost that bird, made me so upset. I just went home for the day. And you got to have a better plan than I had. So since then, I have come up with better plans. You know, you can, there's all sorts of different ways you can recover birds. If you've got a dog, that's an easy one. You've got waders. Maybe you've got, I've since bought an inflatable boat, an inflatable rowboat. It weighs about 15, 16 pounds, something like that. I can pack it up into a big army duffel bag. And then I can, you know, I can head out into the woods with that on my back. And then use that to recover birds in deep water. You could use a kayak. Like I said, big sticks. You know, some people use a fishing rod with a weighted sinker and maybe a bobber and some hooks trying to snag that duck and reel it in. You know, there's different ways you could go about that. You know, there's no best way. You just have to have a plan for the water that you're hunting in. You got to know that water. You got to know what's possible, what you can get, what you can't get. And you got to have a plan. And you got to discipline yourself to only shoot birds that are retrievable in your circumstances and situation. Now, I did that in this particular story, but the bird in and of itself just trying to push itself away deeper, further out. And you ought to account for that too. I should have been there and said, you know what? I'm not shooting anything in this water unless I have a way to just to recover anything anywhere in this water. Because I didn't. I didn't have a boat. I didn't have anything that day. So I had a decent plan, but it was not foolproof. And then it failed. And I hate that. So you got to have a way to recover birds. Number 7. Only shoot twice. All right. This is a pro tip approach here. Only shoot twice. Most people, whether you got a pump or an autoloader, you got 3 shots. I'm recommending you only pull that trigger 2 times. And here's why. Okay, first of all, you know, most of the time, the only thing that the third shot does is let everyone else in the woods know that you missed with the first 2 shots. That is true in turkey hunting, and that is true too often in waterfowl hunting. There's always exceptions. There's always times where you should shoot the third shot. But the rule of thumb here is only shoot twice when you're jump hunting birds. Because first and foremost, your best shot's the first one. That's when they're the closest. That's when they're the least on guard. That's maybe when they're on the water. The second shot, no matter what happened with the first shot, the bird is further away. They're flying. They're moving. They're on their way out with that third shot. Or with the second shot. By the time you pull the trigger the third time, those birds are significantly further. They've covered more distance. All the angles are worse. They're further away from you, and your odds of hitting them are drastically reduced. However, the reason that you don't shoot the third shot is not because your chances of hitting the bird are lower. That's just a bonus reason not to do it. The bigger reason is oftentimes you will hit one of the duck, you'll hit a duck on the first two shots and drop that bird to the water and cripple it. And so that bird hits the water, but it's not dead, or the bird stayed on the water. It's not flying, but it's still there. And you need a quick follow-up shot to kill the crippled bird. All right, it doesn't happen every time. It doesn't happen most of the time. But do it enough and it'll happen. And if you have that quick follow-up shot, one, you can reduce that bird's suffering, take them out quickly. Two, you can keep them from swimming, diving, floating, or running away. And yes, ducks can and will do all of those. And I have lost ducks to all of those. And I wish I would have followed this advice. And that's why this advice is making it to you. Because I have tested the opposite. And it sucks. So you shoot, you hit, and you know that bird pops back up. You shoot it again. Immediately. You're like, well, George, I can reload pretty quick. Yeah, so can I. But do you know what happens in the 5 seconds it takes to take your hand off the gun, pull out another shot, get that shot in there, especially if you're nervous and you can watch this bird escaping? You know, sometimes you shoot the bird, falls out of the sky, hits the water, lands head up, takes back off. You know, you need to shoot immediately. As soon as it hits the water, if that head pops back up, you don't wait for anything. You don't wait for it to swim, dive, or fly. You shoot again immediately, and that's how you take that bird home. I believe people would take more ducks home if they limited their shots and only shot the first two. This is with jump hunting now. If ducks are coming into you and they're decoying and you've got a front-on shot with you know, all the core vitals and their head and everything else, and oftentimes you can take three ducks with three shots. All right, that's a different scenario. You have better odds. They're closer. They're coming at you. You have the right angle. All of those things are working for you. You know, if they're at 25 yards and they're coming towards you, they can only reverse and move away so quickly. So you've got more time. Ducks that are on the water, mallards, wood ducks, they can take off like a missile. I've heard people talk about, you know, hunting ducks are kind of like pheasants. And if they flush on the water, you know, they go up and then they go sideways. And, you know, that can happen. Some ducks will do that. But I have seen ducks more like a missile, especially wood ducks. They just pick whatever direction they want to go. And as soon as something spooks them, they're just like a rocket going straight in that direction. So their ability to escape from being on the water is better than if they're coming in decoying and their wings are cupped and they're about to land and now they need to change direction and plan, and then you've got, you know, great moments there that you can utilize to finish off those birds. So only take those two shots. Other reasons, like I said previously, you only see some of the ducks most of the time. So you take those first two shots, and then other ducks that you didn't even know were there, maybe that are even closer to you, maybe they're on your side of the bank, they then flush. And now you've wasted your third shot shooting at a bird 70 yards away, and another bird 15, 20 yards away from you just takes off, And by the time you reload, that bird's gone. They're in another county. And so if you save that extra shell, you've got that chance to then take that bird. And another reason why you only want to take the two shots when you're jump hunting. Sometimes the birds come back. They will circle back around. I have had this happen where I come up on a bunch of birds, take my shots, drop a bird, and then my gun's empty. I've shot all my shots. Birds flushed, and they circled the water. They circled this big pond I was on and then flew away. They were all confused. There were like 4 or 5 dozen birds. Now, most of them just flew away, scattered to the wind. But some circled around the pond a time or two, trying to figure out what's going on and where they're going to go and all these things. And then you're sitting there with no gun, with no ammo, right? But if you have another shot, boom, you've got that great opportunity. All kind of things can happen. Plus, you save some money because you're only shooting twice instead of three times every single time. You're saving that third shell. Now, you know, you're going to do what you want to do, but this is one of the ways I've found to take more ducks. Save that third shot. Just hold it for a second or two. All right. Don't take a third shot at that duck that's flying dead away from you. All right. They're gone. You know, but you still have other opportunities you might not even know about if you just pause and wait and take a second and don't be trigger happy to empty your gun. So many times people with empty guns took home no ducks, where if they would have just stood there and waited a second, they would have had one of these other kinds of opportunities they told you about. Sometimes ducks can be, I mean, you can be right on top of them before they flush, right? You could be just feet away and they might not even flush until you take the shot at the duck that's further away. So you got to think about these kind of things, keep them in mind. And, you know, of course you don't want to cripple birds, which is the most likely thing to happen. If you're taking long shots at a duck's back, you're going to cripple them. You're going to not recover them. They're going to die later somewhere else. And, you know, there's just no need for that, especially when you've got a better chance of taking birds if you can exercise a little bit of trigger control. So, guys, I hope this is helpful for you. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you head to the website for all the other episodes on waterfowl hunting sorted by categories. And make sure you head to iTunes. Go ahead and leave a 5-star review with comment, not for me, but in order to help the show reach more people. So God bless you and go get them in the woods.